Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Yes, we are one nation under God. Today is Monday, August 29th, 2022. All sorts of things going on out there. We'll see how much we can cover and share some information and help everybody be more informed, have the courage to talk about what's happening, et cetera, et cetera. There's just a lot of stuff going on. But let's start out with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I hope when I do this, which, you know, I don't do the pledge every week. I do some other things, too. But I hope you join me and try to kind of remember what it's all about. Try to bring us together. Remind us that we are one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. We need to remind ourselves about that at times. Now, tonight, I put the topic out there, Donald J. Trump. And the future of the United States of America. It's been really interesting, some of the things that we've been seeing lately, and we really need to face some very serious facts. And we've talked about it on the show before, but more and more the information just keeps adding up, and the proof is all there that we really are at war on this homeland right now. It's not the typical war. It's not like you're having the tanks all over the place and everything else. It's not that type of war. It's a very evil war with the enemies from within and how China has just simply come in little by little, taken over the country, the communists, how they have taken over our Congress, how many are have been bought and paid for there. I mean, there's so many pieces to this. And we really have to realize this is real. It's not a conspiracy theory. You got to get that out of your mind, and you got to figure a way to explain it to others so that they understand this. I mean, at the very basic, to say, don't you have a problem with being totally dependent on communist China for everything? Your drugs, your technology, your meat supply, your food supply. At what point do you say, you're not supposed to sell your soul to your enemy? And they are an enemy, whether we want to face that or not. They are an enemy. And I'll tell you this, the information that I have been looking at over the past week, and you know, and I've put a lot of links on the show page here because you really need to go listen to this stuff. You need to realize how these people put it in such a way that you can't really deny it. You know, when we talk to others, you're just having a casual conversation. They all, of course, the same people who are still wearing the masks today and that type of thing, they just look at you like, oh, that's never going to happen. And then you go back and say, well, Pearl Harbor was never going to happen either, right? The Holocaust, did that really happen, or was that just a conspiracy theory? Did it really happen? World War One and Two. Did those things really happen? And, you know, it's like, well, yeah, they did. That's when you say, well, what makes you think they won't happen again? What makes you believe it's not possible, that the world is just all one big happy place? And you better look at those from within. I mean, has anybody listened to Mitch McConnell lately? And I hear people have been changing his name a little bit to Ditch and whatever else. The guy is a communist. We got to look and see who is truly the communist from within. I mean, he's married to a communist lady. And, I mean, I put some links out there. I didn't put a whole lot of text, what I would call text, out on the show page today, but I gave a lot of links so that you can go and listen to this information that's being presented. And, you know, if you listen to all this and you still think that there's just nothing wrong, good luck, I guess. And you really are part of the problem. You know, we can't defend ourselves if we don't admit we're under attack. And we are under attack. It's just, it's terrible. It really is. And this all comes, you know, and the reason for talking about it on the show tonight is to understand what Trump means to these people. And, I mean, they are truly, he's the one who stopped everything. We surely have to realize and appreciate. I mean, when Trump decided to get involved, obviously he is a worldly person, international business person, and all this other kind of stuff, and he understands or knows a lot of what's going on around the world, not to say that he knows politics very good when it comes to the swamp / cesspool. But he was seeing all these other things going on, too. I mean, you just have to somewhat assume, you know, when he said, make America great again, what made him go down that path, and what else was he seeing? How else did he realize how bad it was? Because he really has put a halt to, you know, he's derailed so much of what they were trying to do. And now you see it's even playing out now where they are so determined. They are so afraid of him running again. They really are. They'll do anything, which, of course, this raid and all this other stuff that's gone on. You can see that they are out for this guy. And there's those that will definitely think they'll find something to arrest him for, something to indict him for, somehow, some way to keep him out of the 2024 election, which I will still contend to myself. I wish he'd just say, you know, no, calm down. Don't go out there and be making the comments about, well, we may need to do this again, where he's out there very much suggesting that he's going to run again. And maybe to some degree that's okay, but I really just wish they would let it play out and let him be the Speaker of the House. He could do so much more without waiting 2 years to do it. So but at the same time, if they start talking about that may get them even more scared to run, you know, run crazy on this other stuff. So they are gunning for this guy. And now when you look at the things I got out there, this True the Vote, Trevor Loudon, which many of you I'm sure have heard of him in the past, but he had a segment out there, and maybe if there's time towards the end, I may try to play it, get to that particular part of the video and listen to it. But he talks about how the communists have taken over so much of this country, how they've taken over the government. And this is where you truly have the root of all greed is the root of all evil, greed and power, and how they just came in and bought up people, how they got people into various places. And Mitch McConnell is a perfect example. I mean, the more, you know, his wife is obvious communist. Go out there, and I've got the link in there that talks about Mitch McConnell. His wife is a communist, and a big part of the transport business industry, her family back in communist China. And when I see that and I know that, which, I mean, that was all known before Trump was ever in office, why did Trump put her over transportation? What was he thinking his plan was going to be? What was the art of the deal he was doing there? He truly made a deal with the devil when he was dealing with Mitch McConnell. Now, Mitch McConnell, he went out there and he did a few things for that Supreme Court, but he knew he would lose power if he didn't. Yeah, the truth is he wouldn't be there. And when we're thinking about who we're going to be electing this time, you really got to take a very close look at these Republicans. How many of them are just the Marxist, beyond being a rhino in disguise, the enemies from within? We've got to understand how many people have been bought up across the board by the Communist Chinese Party, Communist Chinese Party, and also by George Soros and these other people. They have taken it to say, we're going to destroy them, and they're not going to even know what happened. We will destroy them with their own toys, media. You've got to totally, you know, you got to get away from mainstream media, which I think most of you do anyway, but we really got to help push the real media. We have to understand the media is part of the enemy as well. It's just, it's so, so, so disgusting. And let's see, the other, again, they're going to do, between the CCP and the globalists, they are determined to stop Trump. And the only thing is we have to be the ones to say, well, you can try to stop Trump, but you're not going to stop all of us. And that's the whole point. We have got to get everybody together to save this country. Otherwise, we will not survive. I mean, you just got to truly imagine how they have taken over so much of this country. Again, the enemy is from within. This True the Vote, it's called The Pit Part 2. You really have to watch this and listen to what you're being told about the way they have taken over this country. And also, we we cannot downplay the fentanyl thing. It's a bioweapon. They're killing us over the border. And, you know, they go out there and they talk. Well, who's the best person for them to have in office? Well, Biden. And is it time that we started saying it out loud? The Biden, who's supposed to be the president of the United States, is really a treasonous communist traitor. Who does he work for? Does he work for the American people, or does he work for communist China? And, of course, Ukraine and all of that. And the Pitt part that I'm suggesting you listen to discusses that as well. Who do you think he works for? Now, of course, we all know he's somewhat brain dead, but he's still in that role, and he's got those surrounding him who are part of that same game. We are being attacked from within. The enemy's from within. There was also, which I did not get to watch it yet, there's a video out there, I think they said it was an hour and a half, 2 hours, the enemies from within the church. We've got to also understand what has happened to the church, which brings me up to another subject that everybody out there needs to be contacting their U.S. senators because there's going to be a vote coming up on the same-sex marriage vote or marriage equity or whatever they're trying to call it now. They come up with so many stupid names for these things. But you've got these Republicans. And I'm really saying, this is going to be, to me, it's going to be the Republicans who would vote to destroy the culture, which is what that would be if they vote in support of this, which is, I expect communist Mitch McConnell to do. It's going to be the decline of the culture even more. They keep destroying the culture. And we go back, we are a Christian nation. Whether people that is how we were founded. The Bible was what what children were taught to read from. And nobody wants to talk about that either. We're totally trashing what our culture and what our history is, and it's all to the demise of us. If you want to live in communism, you're on the right track. You're doing a good job. Communist China loves you. They love you. The communist Bidens love you. The communist Mitch McConnells love you. They love you. But if you want to do anything to help save this country, you've got to be looking the other way. You got to face the truth. We've got to face the fact of what's happening. It really is going on, and I'm telling you, take some of these links I've given you. Please go listen to them. And this one, Together We Win, which I might go to that page too. The globalists are now afraid of Trump because whenever he talks about what needs to be done to restore the country, it's the opposite of what the globalists want and are doing. This is the globalist. And then you add the communist Chinese on top of it. Communist Chinese aren't going to be the globalists. They will play along to get what they want, but they're not that. They are trying everything they can do to discredit him, and when that doesn't work, they are blatantly trying to steal the Republican nomination from him. So they're going to do whatever it takes. There is no limit to what these people will do because Trump has been the one who's called out what's really happening. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I didn't vote for him the first time. I did the second time. And there's things he's done when it comes to this COVID stuff that drives me totally crazy because he allowed himself to be played. And now they're even going to try to charge him with murder of people who got COVID now, the vaccine. Yeah, they're going to try this now too. These people are sick and evil. And I do sincerely believe Trump is trying to save this country. Now, maybe some people don't do that, and I don't necessarily agree with everything he's done to do it, but I do believe he's trying to save this country. And to that degree, I sometimes kind of try to compare, what would George Washington do if he was here today? What he did with the Revolutionary War and everything else, and the Battle of Trenton and everything else. We're in a different world today, obviously, but what would Washington do to try to save this country? What is Trump doing? What should he do differently? What can he do differently? What are we supposed to do to protect this country, too? Because he can't do it alone. There's no way he can do this alone. And you got to see how they're gunning for him. And then Trevor Loudon was talking. He went into the discussion about the when the riots all started. And initially they were going to start the riots. And, you know, I said that all along when they came to the Memorial Day thing. I said, well, I don't know, was it really a coincidence that something like that would happen on the Memorial Day holiday weekend kind of thing? But there was a black jogger who had been attacked or something with something they thought was going to start it. Then there was the black lady officer that got shot when there was a drug deal going down, whatever. She was accidentally shot in the apartment or something. And then there was the George Floyd thing. All these other things, they were determined. Had it not been George Floyd, they had planned for years to get these riots in the streets. And Trump is the one who triggered it all because he was the one pushing back. And, when you see it all, to me, especially since I've been out there studying up on this stuff with Agenda 21 and everything else, and the military-industrial complex, which was started, was Eisenhower who first put that out there, but it's been over many, many times, the World Economic Forum, Event 201. When you realize this evilness that's out there, and then you see what's happening now, it's like you just can't keep burying your head in the sand. We have got to face up to what is going on here, and we have to take action, or we're not going to have a country. And, you know, if you have any kids or grandkids, do you not care about what you're leaving them? It's so sad. And this is truly history repeating itself. There is truly nothing new here. It's all been so well planned, and Trump is the one who came in and was changing it. Trump is the one who was taking back our country, and they didn't like it. And look what they're doing to him, and look what they're doing to all of us. So we've got to face up to these facts. Now, I haven't seen anything about any Trump rallies. Hopefully there's going to be another Trump rally this week. I think someone said there was going to be one on Labor Day. The GOP, again, please contact your senators, your U.S. senators, and say you do not want them to destroy the culture and vote down this insanity about the marriage thing. You know, it's all, the intent is to destroy the culture, to destroy anything Christian. They have to take down the Christians, which was the other, I think I started to mention, was the other movie about the enemies from within the church. The enemies from within, the enemies within, and then the enemies within the church. This, and I haven't gotten the chance to watch the one on the church, but we've been talking about that on this show for years, how the churches have failed to do their job. The churches somehow act like they're not, or they're protecting their tax status, or whatever else, all unconstitutional. And they're all running scared. They're not doing their part either. And the Christian church is going to go away if we don't defend it. And guess what? People in the church need to defend it. Where are you? I'll plan on having Dr. Torbert on one of these days here in the near future to talk more about what's going on with the church. He gives a lot of information on how the church is part of the problem and why you know the church is failing us too. And if we don't have the culture, the values of a Christian nation, we won't be here. You know, we were and are still a Christian nation, even though that's part of the major way they undermine what we are, who we are, how they defeat us. How are they going to take us down? They're just coming in, and they're playing every game, the transgender stuff and all these other things, all in an attempt to take down the culture and to take down the country. And right now they're winning. I mean, we're still here, but they're winning. I mean, does anybody truly deny that China has taken over a major control of this country and is killing us over the border with the fentanyl and everything else? And, I mean, the COVID thing, I think in time we're all going to find out there really was no major virus. It was all a scheme to get these vaccines in people. And that's the sad part that Trump, I believe he thought he was doing the right thing, but he didn't. And I'm hoping now, especially here, they're going to try to go after him because the vaccine has killed people. They're somehow going to try to blame that on him. I hope now he will actually shut up about that part of it and talk about what has to be done. What has to really be done to call out what happened here and who the real treasonous traitors are, who the enemy is. And Fauci is one of them. It's not Trump. But Trump needs to eat crow and admit that he was duped, and he needs to admit that it was wrong. What he did was not the right thing. And now they're lightening up. I was watching another, I think it was a video on Rumble, where this other doctor was talking about how they're making, the FDA is not even having them do any testing now on humans at all. There's no testing. Here, we're going to pump some drugs in you. If they kill you, oh, well, what the heck. They and it's just disgusting. It's so disgusting. And it's up to us to do something. it is truly up to us to take action and push back on this. The other thing that I was hearing just recently, Moderna is suing Pfizer over the patent for this stuff or whatever. And at the same time, the government somehow, which I know we talked about this in the past, how the federal government is a partner to the Moderna thing, all terrible. What did Trump know about all that stuff? I know, I think it was Scott Atlas who tried to push back on some of the stuff, and he was getting derailed himself, and he wasn't able to really get the message out there. President Trump, if you're listening out there today, would you please come clean, be honest, admit the mistakes, and say what we have to do now. Because right now they're coming after you for killing all these people with a vaccine because they said you pushed them to do it. You were the one that was determined to fast-track it and tell the FDA not to do all their things and all this other stuff, and that you're the one that is the cause of all these deadly vaccines being out there. So you really need to do something. You need to admit that you were lied to. You need to admit we have to change. We have to shut down what they're doing. You have to shut down Big Pharma, which maybe that's where all this comes down to, Big Pharma and the money. I heard something today that Big Pharma has set 75% of television ads are Big Pharma. And I guess I'm going to ask anybody that's out there listening, do what you can to not take any drugs. Of course, all the prescription drugs you're taking are all coming from China, so think about that. And try not to take it. Do what you can to avoid it. I don't know, everybody's situation's different, but they're no longer helping. When did the good doctors who actually cared about life go? I mean, there's some out there, but there's not many. And I'm sure some medications and prescription drugs and whatever, some are good. I don't really doubt that. But they're popping pills in these crazy commercials. Well, it's okay unless it kills you. Warning, it could kill you. But go ahead and take it anyway because you'll feel better even though you might be dead. I mean, the insanity of what they say on these commercials. You know, all the side effects and how they promote it. It's like, don't take it. Do what you can to avoid taking any type of prescription drugs and those pharmaceutical stuff that they're out there pushing all over the place. And then one other thing, and then I'm going to get, I see Karen out there, get her on here, because I'm sure everything I've been saying, she's got several things to comment on as well. We have to shut down this FDA insanity stuff, too. Because, I mean, I'm sure many of you have heard about the Amish farmers, ranchers, that they're actually trying to stop them from selling raw milk, which is what they happen to believe in. They do everything very organically, and they're trying to stop them because they don't pasteurize the milk and because of whatever it is they're doing with the cattle that they raise. And the Amish have been there forever. Why are they doing this to them? Why? I mean, it's just so sick. This is so un-American. And if we don't push back and demand, yes, we want to have cars that use fossil fuels because they're a lot safer and less pollutant than the electric cars that are doing all the other coal burning and whatever else. We can't supply it anyway. We want the freedom to travel about because that's the other part of this. They don't want us to travel. We've got to push back, and we want to eat steak. We want to go out and have a steak. We want to have it. We want to go out and eat whatever else, chicken, whatever. If you want to eat or use a drink raw milk, then you should have the right to do it. As long as you know that's what it is, you should have the right to do it. Now, if they sell raw milk as pasteurized, then that's a whole other problem. But we have these rights. This is all so unconstitutional and so un-American. And if we don't do something to say enough already, we're not going to have a country. It really is up to us who truly believe in freedom to do something. And you got to realize how much this country has already been taken over. Got to watch some of these videos that I sent you the link to. And if you watch these things, like this Pitt Part 2, which is from True the Vote, you watch that and you can tell me why what they're saying isn't true. Please, come on the show next week and tell me. Explain to me why it isn't true. It just isn't the case. We have to face the reality, and we have to face the fact that these Republicans, how they vote on this thing in the Senate, on this marriage thing, it's going to be very telling. Are they a bunch of cowards? Do they have a backbone? Are they owned and controlled by communist China? Who owns them? Who owns them? Because I'll tell you, right now, we're enemies from within. The enemy is all over the place. We have got to do something about it. And I know I've been ranting here, so I'm going to stop ranting, and I'm going to get Karen engaged here, because I know she's got something to say about that. Hello, Karen. What are you thinking about everything I just said today, and how are you doing?
Oh, I am thinking a whole lot, and I am doing fine, and thank you so much for inviting me on the show. It is always a pleasure to join in the conversation. Sally, I fear that it is a lot worse than any of us could even imagine. And we, of course, are not prepared. And if we would learn to recognize the signs, then we wouldn't be duped into doing stupid things. Yes, we should be telling President Trump, okay, we get it. You were lied to. Come out and say that. Yes. That's important. But every time we are doing that, we're not paying attention to the economy, which is off a cliff, and Biden just wrote another $3 billion check to the Ukraine. In addition to now, Iraq has fallen into the hands of Iran. So you can imagine what that is going to do for the oil fields that will now be controlled by China. So we are facing a worldwide situation coupled with the destruction, as you said, from the enemies within our own country. And the sad part is, I feel, the Americans aren't in enough pain yet to pay attention to what's going on. However, I am seeing a glimmer of hope, and I am seeing the people coming back into understanding of what's going on, and maybe all of these atrocities, of which, I mean, think about this one, too. This vote we now know is manipulated. If we didn't go through all of this, and we just ignored the 2020 election, would we know this? Would we understand what we're facing? Would be able to say, wait a minute, we don't want that here or that there or whatever, whatever? No. So maybe we had to go through and experience these atrocities in order to recognize what they are and what's going on. There were many precincts that had many irregularities on the votes, and look at New York, where, and I believe it is also Vermont, where they are going to court to leave dead people on the rolls. Now, here's another thing. Remember the census and the big fight we had? Because we didn't want illegals to be counted in the census? Well, guess what? All of those states that counted illegals in the census now gave the illegals the ability to vote. And those states have gained a representative in the House of Representatives. Do you see what's happening? 4.9 million illegals have been dumped into the United States in the past 18 months that Biden is in office. What do you think that is going to do to this country? And as far as I see, we have a chance to do the right thing. We have a chance to back on track, although each time we don't, it will take longer to do it because the damage becomes more and more severe. But I was thinking of this, Sally. The affirmative action, I think that's what we're living through right now. Because if you listen to the people talk, the bureaucrats, the talking heads, they can't even put a sentence together. They don't make any sense when they talk. And they buy into the most insane things. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, oh, these are the people that went through the wonderful programs like Affirmative Action and No Child Left Behind. Look at what we have created. So
yeah.
We have to turn to the schools as well. It's not what they try to do, and this is very important, folks. What they try to do, feed us sound bites. And if any of the Republicans or talking heads or opposition or anyone would ask them a question beyond their ability to say a short sentence, they would find they have no answers. They'd be, honestly, folks, they'd be embarrassed. Why are we not doing that? Why aren't we not questioning them? Why are we accepting there are 67 genders? No, there are not. And now we're finding out that children's hospitals are mutilating children. Have we sunk that low that we now have to mutilate our own children? Or look at what's going on in the border. Over 38%, they said, of the kids coming across and of the people coming across the border have been trafficked, and they are either human trafficked turning into mules or they will become sex slaves. What? And they're allowing
you know, Karen, yeah, and we got to stress at this point, this is where the it's really no longer the Democrat Party has been totally taken over by the Communist Party. People have to accept that.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Democrat Party, they've been the racist party and whatever else ever since the day before the Republican Party existed. But people got to understand that it's the Democrats, they're out there acting like they care about people, but they're the ones killing the people. They're the ones causing the harm. I mean, at some point, you got to realize who your enemy is. The enemy from within,
yes,
and you got to go out there and face the fact the Democrat Party is a communist party today, period. That's what they are.
Yes, and you know what? It's they are in both parties. So I made a list. Who are these people? Who are our enemies? Because if we can't recognize who are our enemies, who are we actually fighting? So they are the Democrats, the Communists, the Marxists, the Socialists, the dictators, the fascists, the rhinos, the progressives, and the Islamists, and anybody else who is against human rights. And that's what these people are. They are, you were talking, and we have discussed many times the real goal of all of this, of what this is about, is depopulation. Do you think they care if they starve a couple of million people? Do you think they care if, I was reading about, what do you do with your windmill in a wind drought? I never thought of a wind drought. Sort of a rain drought, but a wind drought. What's a wind drought? Anytime it's not windy for 36 hours or more, the windmills won't work. What do you do in the winter? Think, people. They're trying to kill us and we're letting them do it. That is insanity. And we have to stop being insane. We have to stop giving them our power because there are certainly not more of them than us. We are the many, they are few. The problem is they have the media. So I think what we should be doing is making them define the words that they're using. They talk about how we're going to kill democracy. Okay, give me an example. This one is a racist pig. Okay, give me an example. Why does nobody say that? There are no examples. They just get to say these words. And we also have to understand that they are manipulating the language. They don't want us to talk to each other. And what they have done is they are using the same words, but they have changed the definition. And case in point is the Constitution. I asked someone something about the Constitution, and I was answered with, oh, that racist document. I said, excuse me? How did you get it to be a racist document? It doesn't even say race in the document. Not only that, our founders were advocates of no class distinction. They didn't want to be like India or like Great Britain. That's why they left and formed America. No class distinction. You could be in any class you want to be. That was the idea. You come here, you follow the law, and you can be whatever you want to be. Well, how has that changed is because they don't want us to be anything. They just want us to work for them. And the things that they are putting in place are horrible. There's no other word to describe them. They are trying to get rid of the dollar and use digital money, worldwide digital money. All of this, by the way, comes right out of our favorite group of people called from the United Nations, or I should say the Communist United Nations, because they are a big group of communists. But this is what we are facing. And they are doing everything humanly possible to get the people to be convinced that an abortion is a good thing. And then they'll turn around and they'll say, look at the world population, it's shrinking. Well, of course it's shrinking, you're killing it. In the meantime, they're cheering. Yay, it's shrinking. Listen to Bill Gates. He doesn't want more than 1 billion people. So what is he doing? He's buying farmland. Why is he buying farmland? Oh, he's going to work and invent new types of crops. Really? When the farmland lays fallow. So
yep,
this is what is going on.
Well, and Bill Gates, with the right type of vaccines and controlling the food supply and stuff, and we will depopulate. That is his goal. For some reason, Bill Gates is under the impression that he's God, and he has the right to decide who lives and dies. But he promotes the vaccines and the food. He wants to eliminate all meat and whatever manufactured meat, whatever it is they call it, the kind of stuff. It's just sick. It's evil and it's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people are sitting there acting like, wow, this is windmills are good. This is green. This is all wonderful. And where's the expression about you'll have nothing and you'll be happy about it? We're already seeing that to a certain degree.
Yes, and let's remember Texas 2 years ago in the blizzard, and they had no windmills. They had a grid failure. Their windmills were down. What was it, 30 million people didn't have power? How stupid. And Texas, then, well, who knows? I was told by the people from Heartland that we were inches away from losing the grid from the entire country because of neglect. And if it wasn't for a certain person who saw something and fixed it, the whole entire grid of the country, except Texas, who's not connected to the grid, would be down for a very, 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 very long time. Now, we don't want to see that happen, but anytime you see the word sustainable, think of the word control, because that's what they mean by sustainable. They are using that to control you. One of my favorite, let me see if I can find it, from one of the designers of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. What was he saying? Oh, Maurice Strong. Now, Maurice Strong was an oil billionaire, made his money in oil, and then sold it to China. How nice. And he was the founder of the UN Environmental Program from, obviously, the United Nations. But he said, isn't it the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilization collapse? And isn't it our responsibility to make it happen? Now, do you think they don't believe him? Here's another one. This is another good one. A master. This is Paul Ehrlich. He is a professor teaching kids who then grow up and become bureaucrats. What did he say? A massive campaign must be launched to de-develop the United States. De-development means bringing our economic system into line with the realities of ecology and the world resource situation. Paul Ehrlich, professor. In other words, when they say level the playing field, they mean shoot America down to the other third world countries, because if you remember what Obama said when he was talking to a graduate class in college, that there will not be, if you think you are going to own cars and have air conditioning like the United States, think again. We're going to, well, he didn't say this, but what he meant was, we're going to put you in cities and you'll have to use mass transit. And you'll live right above your job, so you really won't have to go anyplace. And then we'll arrange for your apartment and we'll arrange for your fees. Aren't we nice? That's what communism does. And that's where I feel we're headed. So we have a lot of work to do. And this election is, I can't even begin to say how critical it was. But we also had a discussion, and this has really been bothering me, and I think, folks, this is something that we need to go over with our elected officials. We are electing people at primaries. We should not be doing that.
Yeah.
That is not a good thing. If you're nonpartisan or you don't have somebody running in your party against you, you don't have a primary, and you may be elected to that position as an NPA or whatever. County commissioners were elected in a primary. School board members were elected in a primary. And then less than 40% of the population voted. How dumb is that? We need to tell our elected officials that no more elections at primaries. That's how we get the same people over and over again, because nobody pays attention to the primary. And all of a sudden you're looking at a communist school board and you say, how did these people get here?
Yeah, I'll tell you, when it comes to this stuff, Karen, you know me, we've been talking about this, and I used to see it to a limited degree in Orange County. But what I've seen up here in Jackson County, is it's even worse. And right now, you can see that both sides like it this way, because depending on who's in at the time, as to how they can play the game. And here in Florida, now, I don't know if Nathan's out there listening, but I'm sure he has this number. I think it's close to 50% of the voters in Florida are no party affiliates, I believe. If not 50%, or it's close to it. I would have to say it's close to it. But across the country, more and more people are rejecting these two stupid parties, rejecting all political parties, but most people think there's only two, when in fact I think in Florida there's somewhere around 20 altogether. But the smaller parties are totally rejected. They're not even allowed to participate. So as a Libertarian or a Constitution Party or the Green Party, whatever, if they don't get a certain amount of petitions or whatever else, their party is totally ignored. They don't participate at all. So the system is rigged in those respects, too. We talk a lot about the machines, which obviously that's a big part of it, but you can't undermine or minimize what is happening on this other level with all the people who are being disenfranchised and being alienated from the process. And, I mean, I wish I had the number. Nathan, if you're out there, I'm sure you know the number on how many no-party affiliates are here in Florida, but understand that the vast majority of the no-party affiliates do not think they're supposed to vote in the primaries in Florida, because we have a closed primary in most cases. But it's not every case. And the system is rigged. And I have every intention of reaching out to Governor DeSantis before this 2024. There's nothing we're going to do here on 2022. There's not time to change it there. but we have to go, we cannot allow that many people. And, you know, the Republicans are actually pretty stupid to ignore the no-party affiliates anyway, because the majority of the no-party affiliates are not the extremist, radical, communist Democrats that are out there. They are the true moderates. And with they're the ones, I'll say, the voice of reason, that are not to the extreme, you know, in that case. So the Republicans are losing a lot of votes, too, in my own opinion, more so than the Democrats. The Democrats seem to rally together, Democrat, Communist Party, rally together and do their own thing and come together on this stuff, where the Republicans, just like the Republicans we have in office, how many of them are told, they're cowards. How many cowards are Republicans? Call them rhinos, call them whatever you want to. But they've been taken over by the Communist Party as well, funded by them, or they don't have the backbone to stand up and speak up. You know, we've got a few strong ones out there, but the vast majority of Republicans have no backbone, have no spine. And we've got to get this other group of people engaged. It's totally, you've heard me say this enough, Karen. It is totally wrong. You should never be electing people in a primary. And that is happening. I don't know if you had a chance to really look into it. It hasn't been much time, but I would like to know in the state of Florida how many people were elected in the primaries. I don't know a number off the top, but I would like to know how many got elected in the primaries.
That would be a good question, and that's something I will ask, and you should find out, because this is a very serious thing, and like you said, this is just another way to cheat.
It is.
And that's what's happening. Because the people who are in a primary, many of them are there continually because the votership is so low, they don't have to go out and solicit. You know, if they're there, people have a tendency to say, oh, they're there. That's all. They're there. That's it. Or they don't vote in the primary, which to me is worse. And that goes back to lack of a civics education, which is why I strongly believe that we are living in the age of affirmative action. And it comes out and it's going to be affirmative action is going to rear its ugly head in the form of social credits because you have to be controlled. People don't want to give up their freedoms easily. They have to be controlled. They have to be coerced. And if you think that's not happening, please think again and be prepared and pay attention to those links that Sally sent you. And if you want to read the source document, you can go right to the UN website and put in on the search bar Agenda 21, and the document will come up. It's not hidden. It's really there. It is a way to control every aspect of human activity. That's their goal. And you have to fit in their little pattern, and that's why we have to know this, and we have to have our legislators know it. And we do not have to know everything. What we have to do is be able to recognize the pattern. They create the crisis. They allow it to fester. The people, in the meantime, they demonize those people in power. They make victims out of the criminals. They let the chaos continue until the people say, help. And then, lo and behold, there's not enough police. How did that happen? Well, we'll have to send over our federal forces or the UN Blue Hats. They came in a couple of times during Obama. Remember when Obama said, I want the UN to pay provide the security of the election. What?
Yeah.
The UN? Are you crazy? I guess he was. And we voted for him twice. Do you really believe that? Because I don't.
No, why did people do this? So you talk about affirmative action. How many people? There's a book that was written by a black individual called White Guilt, and how people have been brainwashed into thinking that if you're white, then you're the one who's been abusing all these people and all this other stuff, and the white guilt routine. It's an excellent book. If you've never read it, please do, because it helps explain affirmative action syndrome. This really is what it is. Somehow, if I work two or three jobs so I can afford to buy a house, I guess that makes me a racist. Wait a minute. Couldn't anybody else do that, too? It's not like I get paid millions of dollars. A couple of minimum wage jobs and then a full-time job and whatever else. Nobody handed it to me, and I had to work for it. But somehow that makes me a racist. It's insane. And then you go out there, the affirmative action. We're changing the rules. Okay, you're going to be able to graduate with a high school diploma even though you don't know how to read at a fifth grade level. I mean, it's sick. And what we're doing to our own people, and we're doing it because of this communist takeover. Yet people have to understand the enemy from within. And the founders were so wise about this stuff. They understood this stuff. And I've got the link out there on the show page today, Washington's farewell address. Go read that thing, please. If you've never read it, you definitely need to. Plan on reading it several times. I read it over and over again, and I see different things. And other things like, yeah, this is exactly where we are today. This is what he was warning about. It's just amazing how true what he put in that farewell address has come true today. All the warnings of what was going to happen if you didn't protect yourself. And our role in talking about the credits, how we spend our money, how we work with other countries, all these different things, and to understand there will always be those who want what you have. You will always have to defend yourself. And then we were, I know growing up, being brainwashed and, China's going to come around to us. We're adding China to the World Trade Organization because we want them to be part of the democracies of the world. We're going to convince them how much better this is than communism. Now, were there some people who were truly, genuinely believing, brainwashed? Well, yes, we're going to show them how much better life is. We're going to make them realize this is the way it should be. Or were they, in fact, the ones infiltrating the system, taking over? Here's how we're going to take over from within. They're going to be so dumb. They're out there thinking they're helping us while we're the ones taking over their country, and they don't even know it. I can't remember who first came up with it, the expression about, we'll take over the, might have been Saul Alinsky, but we'll take over the country and they won't even know it. And that's where we're at right now. They have taken over so much of this country right now, and most people don't even have a clue. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we have been conditioned, and this has been going on for years. I remember taking a marketing class, and they were focusing on the concept that you can make people buy things if you get them to feel in their mind that they have to keep up with their neighbors. So they came up with keeping up with the Joneses. And then they would do commercials like, Mr. Jones has an electric broom. What do you have? Oh, you don't have an electric broom. Are you going to let him have one and you're not? That kind of thing. So they did that with neighbor and neighbor to create a rift. They will always try to create a rift. That's how they enable their plans to get through, because then people won't be talking about their plans and what's going on. They'll be talking about the rift, which is usually meaningless. They always focus on things that are the most expensive and will never work, because if they work, you wouldn't need them. You mentioned the Amish. Why did they go after the Amish with some stupid, obscure law? Because the Amish don't pay taxes. The Amish don't have to adhere to their government policy, but the Amish are living, breathing proof that there is an alternative, and they can't have an alternative. You have to have their plan. They have to control the plan. And that's the only plan that is acceptable. And we have a very short window to make a big change. If we are successful and make the change and the right people are in office and these people are prosecuted as they should be, they actually should be hung for treason because that's what they have done. But even going after them and getting them in jail, that's what needs to happen. Otherwise, this doesn't stop. You can't successfully get rid of a bully if you give in to him all the time. It doesn't work that way. You have to challenge, and that's what we're not doing, and that's why, thank you, because you're giving the people a good dose of the truth, and then they have the ammunition to, when these sentences are made, you get to say, explain, give me an example as to how that happened. Tell me where you see that. Tell me why you think that. Nobody's asking those questions, which, of course, will make them think. Most of the time, what will happen after you ask a question like that is they will shout their initial talking point and start yelling at you by repeating the talking point several times. And then they get frustrated and stop. And that's when I usually say, okay, are you finished yelling then? But she didn't answer the question. So you have to understand, like I said, who these people are.
Mm-hmm. You know, going back to the general topic of Trump, the impact that Trump has had, how Trump, I mean, so much of the world chaos today, as we're feeling the crisis, I'll call it the crisis, has really been a result of him being elected. When they, you know, they really never thought he had a chance to be elected. It was so much by surprise of and this includes the Republicans. So going back, and there's this one article, I've got the link in there. It's Together We Win. And it talks about what Trump did to begin with. I mean, what he was doing, I'll read this briefly here because I think this is important because of the Republicans. At the 2016 Annual World Forum of the American Enterprise Institute, NWO, a secret meeting was held by panicked Republican leaders and the heads of major tech companies to figure out how to eliminate Trump as a candidate. Now, this is Republicans who are doing this. Why? And then you mm-hmm. go down and you talk about, think of the different things that Trump has done, which a big part of it was that Trans-Pacific Partnership. And you and I were talking before Trump ever even got on the scene that we had to stop this. This was all, again, it's all this New World Order, one world government, a communist takeover to take down the United States. And Trump came along and he derailed all that stuff. I mean, there's so many various pieces. And, you know, you want to call out any of them, but this one here, I'm just looking right in front of me here. Where he shut that down. He said, America first. We are going to protect ourselves. It's not that we don't want to harm others. Hey, if you're communist China, if you people live in communism and that's what you like, go for it. That's your world. Do that. But we're not going to be dependent on you. We're not going to be the ones subservient to you. We're giving billions of dollars, yet we're somehow in hock to you, held hostage by you owning our debt, yet we're the ones that are making you successful. And right now, from different things I've read and seen on the reports, the Chinese economy isn't doing all that great either. We truly have a chance to defend ourselves against this group if we could get some real Americans elected to office. Do you think we can get some Republicans who aren't communists too? I mean, the Democrat Party, I think, is pretty much hopeless. There might be a few of them out there. But by and large, when I think of the Democrats, I just think of a communist party, Marxist communist party that they've become. They were already somewhat that way to begin with. They were the racist, as we talked earlier. But when it comes to who's going to help us defend, because what happens if they go and indict Trump or something else happens to him? Because they're determined. These people don't care about life, as you mentioned. They'll kill their own people. They don't care. So they're not going to stop. They're going to do whatever it is because Trump isn't going to go along with what they're doing. Even though I don't like everything he's done, he's been on our side, I truly believe. So what do we do And I guess the question, what are the other things, if we could go down the list of the different things, obviously securing the border, look at the difference of the fentanyl that stopped, and you know, this mass invasion that's going on right now that way, then, of course, calling out when these people in the swamp slash cesspool are being bought and paid for by Big Pharma and the communist Chinese people, how we sold our technology to them, all these different things that he's bringing back here. He's saying, wait a minute, we just want to, we're not trying to rip off anybody. We just want a fair deal. Why are we the ones constantly sacrificing and helping the world while it's the world who's trying to take us down? There's something kind of crazy here. So this to me has been, you know, Trump, make America great again, America first, all of this kind of stuff. But what happens right now if he's not able to run in 2024? Now, we talk a lot about Ron DeSantis, which, by the way, something came up. DeSantis was going to go to New York for a political thing for the guy running for the governor up in New York or whatever, and then something happened, and all of a sudden he didn't go. Tragic incident, whatever, and I haven't been able, I don't know if you've heard anything more on that one, Karen, but he didn't go up there. But the thing is, DeSantis, we need leaders like DeSantis at the state level, too. So DeSantis isn't some magical solution for Trump. What happens if Trump isn't able to run or they do something else to him? Where do we go from here? We are putting an awful lot on one person that we shouldn't be dependent on. We got to get others to do the same thing. And I'll tell you, the True the Vote group has done an awful lot. They, when watching that, and that goes with Mike Lindell, too. We have these various groups. If we can get all these groups together, they won't be able to stop us. There's more of us than there are of them. But you got to get Americans, the average American, willing to say, yes, we have a communist takeover. We're facing a communist takeover of this country right now, and we better do something. And you know what? Just because you were raised a Democrat doesn't mean you stay one. Just because you may have been raised a Republican doesn't mean you stay one. You don't go and vote for a communist. I don't care what party they are. So at some point, we have to realize what's going on. And I don't believe the majority of Democrat individuals, individual voters who are registered as Democrats, I don't believe the majority of them are truly communist, but they just drink whatever Kool-Aid they get served because someone does a political spin, does the marketing game on them, and they somehow brainwash them into thinking this. But what do we do? I mean, think about the various things that Trump has done that has created the situation, why they felt like they had to release a virus, which, think about the virus, people, and I tell you, if I wouldn't say this if I didn't truly, genuinely believe it, and based on additional information that's come out, this virus was truly nothing more than another version of influenza or pneumonia, things that have been here forever. But because they went and put the fear in people, this shows how easily people will drink the Kool-Aid and be manipulated. They said it was a deadly virus. Well, there's a lot of things that are deadly. Well, you could get killed in a car accident, so you better never get in the car again. But they led everybody to believe this, and Fauci was a big part of it, and Trump was being misled. He was being lied to. And so they went out there, and all these people started flying to the hospitals because they had a cold that they would have never gone had they not said, oh, my God, there's a deadly virus out there. Oh, my God, if you start to sniffle, you got to go to the hospital. And then these people, they were killed. Between giving them drugs that they didn't need, people that would have never gone to any medical facility, they would have gone to the drugstore, bought some aspirin or cough medicine or whatever else, and they would have gone on. But they convinced everybody that they were about to die. These people were afraid they were going to die. So they went and took the poison called a vaccine and the other crap that they were giving them, put them on ventilators that killed them. It's just, it's unbelievable as to the way they set the trap and the way people fell into it. We have to change this thought process. Otherwise, this country isn't going to be around. And again, what do we do? What the various things that Trump did that got them so ticked off. The fuel being energy independent. How in the world would they ever stop this except that they're evil and they want us to fall? It's all over the place. I know I'm ranting. I'm just, when I was watching these videos, between watching Mike Lindell the week before and then this True the Vote stuff, It's so obvious that we are under attack, people. There is a war on this homeland right now, and you better face it. You better realize it and accept it. And if you're okay with becoming a Marxist communist country, you're in good shape. Turn off that air conditioner and the heat, because you ain't gonna get those. You better have a fireplace for your heat during the winter, because you're not gonna have all these things that you're used to having today. It's not gonna happen. They're gonna go away. They don't care about you. Understand, they don't. And this thing with Mitch McConnell, it's so disgusting. Mitch McConnell, and he is a communist. We got to start. That's the other part of this. And Karen, if you've got the list, when it comes to these Republicans who are already in public office, like Mitch McConnell's not up for re-election now, so he would have to be recalled. But I think it's time we started really calling. You are a communist. Marxist communist.
Well,
you're not an American. Go ahead.
No, you're not, and that's the problem. You hit the nail on the head, Sally. That is the problem. We have to stop thinking of these people as they are American, because they are not. They are world leaders. They are global elite. They don't give a crap about America. It's just another address to them. It's nothing special. Nothing that has been done to us will change their lifestyle. Nothing. Their lifestyle will remain the same, while we will be struggling, as what did Mercone say, the age of abundance is over. We will now have the age of austerity. Why? Why do I have to have austerity when you have abundance? Are you going to have austerity too? Did somebody ever ask him that? No, he's not going to have austerity. He's going to have abundance. They don't want us to have anything because they want to own it. And that is the big problem. They want to own everything, and what they can't own, they will regulate to death until it goes out of business, and then they can buy it. You mentioned Bill Gates owning farmland. Yes, he's going to own a tremendous amount of farmland. Why? Because what is he producing? Beyond meat. Who's going to corner the market? He's going to put GMO food there, because that's his baby. Remember, he's also invested in Monsanto, that poison company. So here we have the same thing. Now we have the same thing in the energy. What did Bill Gates just invest in? He's now a 50% owner in Chevron and Occidental Petroleum. If petroleum and oil and all of these things are so horrible, why would he want a 50% ownership? Because it's not horrible. We need it. Their problem is they can't control it, so therefore they will deem that it's horrible, and you can't have it either. And when you're suffering enough and the company goes out of business, they will come in and buy it up, and we will own nothing, and they will own everything. And that's what they want. That's their goal.
I've asked this question before, and we have any constitutionalists listening out there, please join in here. The Constitution is supposed to protect against monopolies, I thought. And I could swear that it's out there someplace, but I need to go out there and check it. If anybody's got that, because this is the other thing. I mean, Bill Gates is, him and his good old bud Soros, and a few others out there, they are taking control of everything because of the wealth they have. And it's like, capitalism is about becoming wealthy, you know, and being able to do that, but it should not be allowed to create the dictators and the gods of the planet, if you want, to go out there and do this. And so, but Bill Gates, since he wants to kill people, so he's producing vaccines all over the world, he wants to, again, kill people, so he's coming up with his manufactured meat stuff. and he's buying up the land to stop from being able to grow food and the cattle as well, and the livestock. Excuse me. And he's also got massive ownership. Now, you mentioned the Exxon oil, but he owns some major part of the railroad in Canada, and I think he's a major stockholder in almost all the petroleum companies, whatever, and something he so complains he doesn't believe in, but he's doing it, one, because he gets a lot of money out of it, keeps his money coming. At the same time, he can play games and manipulate and control it the way he wants to control the people. And there's something not 100% constitutional with having a dictator, because that's what he's becoming, his own dictator in a sense. And not to mention, Lord only knows, I don't know much about his relationship with Communist China, but I'm sure they must have a cozy relationship there as well.
Oh, he's in bed with them. He wrote the programs for them. He also wrote the program, Microsoft wrote the program for worldwide Common Core for the United Nations. I even have a copy of that contract. So they are definitely in bed together because the major driving force is money. And I was interviewing a woman from Betty Grand from the Heartland Institute, and she was from North Dakota. So I said, I don't understand. North Dakota is a red state. How could your governor allow a sale of farmland next to an Air Force base to Communist China? And she said, well, you know, this is America, and people can sell their land to whomever, especially when they're offered that kind of a price. However, because of so many citizens from all over the country complaining and getting a hold of the legislators, they are now going to disallow that sale, or they are looking at ways to disallow that sale. And she said they are probably going to be using national security. But until the people complained, it wouldn't have made any difference, which is why people complaining is so important. That is a major deal, and we're not doing that. So we're not. What are we going to do? Let them take over? And to answer your Trump question, somebody else, there will be somebody else, probably a successful business person, because that's really what this is going to require. And Trump and I are the same age. We were born the same year. And one of the advantages that Trump has is a similar advantage that I have. We grew up in that time. We grew up with these people. We went to their meetings. We even demonstrated. I never went to the riot, but we demonstrated. We marched. We marched in Washington. We marched all over the place. We protested. We hated the authorities, and we were mad at them for Vietnam. That anger hasn't gone anyplace except it turned itself into communism, because this group of kids were taught that way. The Vietnam War was a war from the draft, and being a teacher was draft exempt. So here they took, you want to get out of the Vietnam War, become a teacher. And then they took over the colleges and taught them communism, because they changed history to social studies and added all of the psychology courses more as mandatory and started eliminating other types of classes. And started talking more about group this and group that. And this is where it all began. These people haven't changed. The advantage that Trump has is that he understands them. We know where they're coming from. We have experienced their stupid nonsense. People who are 20 years younger than myself did not have that experience. Didn't go through it. and therefore don't understand many of the things that are being done to them because they are just taking it as natural course. And one of the things that they were heavy duty on is marketing and sales. And I always used to say, you know, the Republicans, I'm talking about the old Republicans. The old Republicans, they had really good policy, but, man, they were lousy at messaging. And the Democrats were great at messaging, but, man, they had lousy policies. Wouldn't it have been nice if instead of putting the bad and the bad together, we put the good and the good together? That would have been ideal. But when everything is affirmative action and mediocre is what rules the day, we lose, and we lose our excellence. And that's what's happening. There's no pride in doing something anymore because all you need is your device and go on your social media and get lots of followers and you'll make lots of money and that's all they care about. So there's no communication together. There's no togetherness anymore. It's funny because they isolated everyone as individuals and then they tell everybody how much they hate individualism and you have to be part of a group. Figure that one out.
it's so true. It's like, you know, and it just, education is key. You've been saying that for years and it really is true. We were supposed to, education is, going back to good old Jefferson, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and can never be. We cannot be ignorant and free. And through the affirmative actions, instead of raising people up, we took people down. Like, wait a minute, you're too smart, so you're going to have to go down here. We're not going to escalate the others and help them get up to a higher reading level and things like that. We're going to bring you down. And that's exactly what has happened. We've gone down and down and down. Affirmative action didn't lift people up. It kept them down and brought others down to their level, which is exactly what they wanted to do, dumb down the society. I mean, we've been talking about it for years. The dumbing down of Americans has been extremely successful. We have dumbed them down. We're using their weapons against them. We're using their free society. Goes back to that expression, the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. We had this opportunity to do so much, to learn so much, to share so much, and somehow we got brainwashed. Well, wait a minute, we got to help these people too. Well, wait a minute, no, well, we're doing this one. Well, no, you got to do this. And all this manipulating the marketing. It goes to the joke about selling ice to an Eskimo, if you're allowed to say Eskimo these days. I don't know if that's even true anymore, but you know, you can sell ice to an Eskimo. Obama could sell ice to an Eskimo. He would say it, and people would just, well, he seems so genuine and so sincere. Why are you believing what he said when it could not even prove that he was an American? And that was, I thought of how that truly impacted us as Americans. Like, this is how gullible we are. We're not even willing to defend or protect what natural-born citizen means. That you're supposed to be a natural-born American to be the president. And, well, that doesn't matter, whatever, and all the nonsense with that. So, well, no, you're just going to let them come in. Okay, when all these people coming in over the border, well, they have a right to work, too. Well, but that's not what there are probably those who genuinely come over to improve their own situation, whatever. But you can't go on, so does that person who's homeless who wants a house to live in. Bring them inside your house. Let them take over your house and take over your stuff and, you know, whatever. Just because you worked 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it was or is, just because you did all that, worked on it and bought the stuff, there's no reason why these homeless people can't come in and take your stuff, right, and kill you. Hey, they want a house. Boom. I mean, it's the insanity of it all, how we've been brainwashed and manipulated to drink the Kool-Aid. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid, people. It's a fact. There's evilness in this world. That's all there is to it. There is evilness. And you know what? What we're doing, we're destroying our own culture. They are so determined to take down the Christian faith as well. And, you know, I was raised as a Christian. I didn't go to church every Sunday and those kind of things, you know, but I had that core underlying foundation of what belief was. And as we talked about it in the past, the Bible was part of mandatory reading. When this country was founded, it was the key to teach people to read. But now they act like this is the most evil thing ever. It's not. It's what gave us those core values and the genuine care about other people versus the Quran and everything else, and some of these, and of course, atheism. Do people really believe the Chinese Communist Party cares about killing people? Haven't they seen what they've done to their own people? It's the Americans who don't want to kill everybody, so we stand here while they kill us. Something doesn't make sense here. We got something backwards. And we better defend ourselves, or there won't be any Christians left on this planet, and of course there won't be any United States of America.
That is the goal. Remember that. That's why the borders are open and we have 4.9 million illegals roaming our streets. And just wait, because what do they have now? They have 5 or 6 more caravans on their way up. Now, if that is not treason, I don't know what is. We have more people that are illegal than I think it was the entire, or we're getting close to the entire state of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
This is the single most destructive thing that has been done, and everything else, as bad as it is correctable. This one is not going to be correctable.
Well, what do you think? Say Trump had not been elected, because the Trump and the COVID. I keep going back and I say the silver lining of all of this stuff is that we've had an awakening of the American people much more. I mean, there were those of us who were talking about the North American Union, how they were going to remove the border between us and Canada and Mexico, and this was all being done under the Bush, George W. Bush regime. So the parties just don't matter. But it had things gone as Hillary Clinton expected, and their formulas had worked, if she would have been elected the president, where do you think we would be today? And people really got to think about that, because Trump, he really messed up their plans. And we've got to thank him for having given us a chance to save this country. But where do you think we'd be today had it been Hillary Clinton as the president?
I would say that at least 70% of the people will not have jobs. They would be bleeding us dry with taxes. Just take a look at that new Inflation Reduction Act. Remember, folks, this is another thing, another trick with them. Whatever they name something, think the opposite, because that's what it really is. So if you think this is going to reduce inflation, ha, 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 because it's not. This is an Inflation Increase Act, but that is where we would be. We would be, there's a great video on YouTube called Argentina. If you want to know where we would be, then I think that's what everybody should go look at. We will be nothing more than a third world country living like Argentina. And the prices will be exorbitant and everything else will be on the black market. It is not a pretty picture. Not at all. Especially knowing the riches that this country has. And if I could say one more thing, Sally, be prepared, folks, because that's what you're not doing. You've got to be prepared. You've got to have food. Over and over and over again, they have been screaming food shortages, high food prices. People are going to worry, are they going to be able to put gas in their tank or food on the table? Buy food now, while it is still somewhat reasonable, of which it's a lot not reasonable, but go for those 2-for-1, buy one, get one sales. Do whatever you can to save and conserve, but make sure that you buy food now, because there will come a time that you will go to the shelves and there will be nothing there. And that's
Americans just have a very hard time believing that. They are still, even today, I mean, I go to the stores now and the shelves aren't empty, but you can see a lot of spaces. And I'm like, okay,
yes.
This should be kind of warning people, this really is going to happen. You got to stop thinking it ain't going to happen. You cannot listen to these morons in public office, and I don't care what party they are. Anybody that listens to anything Mitch McConnell says, I'm sorry, you got to be an idiot. And the joke, or if you want to call it a joke, is saying the Republicans don't want to win the Senate because then they'd have to do something. Right now, they get to kind of sit on the sidelines and just go along with everything, which is exactly the truth, what the Republicans are doing now. And I can't stress enough, these people you're voting for, a communist by any other name is still a communist. The one other thing I was going to mention real quick, too, talking about these acts, and it was a Republican. It's also one of the Supreme Court justices we have out there today that we think are one of the better ones, the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was a major part of this as well. And most people are totally clueless. And I remember back in that day, that I was really just starting to get more engaged in the political arena as to public policy. I don't really want to call it political arena as much as public policy, what's happening to us out there. And there were many of us fighting this Patriot Act. But these other people, it shows, again, how gullible and you can be without taking the time to learn what's going on. The Patriot Act took away our basic rights and gave more control to these morons. The Patriot Act needs to go away. It really needs to be part of the discussion that you have today with these people running for office. Do they believe in the Constitution? What do they think about the Patriot Act? What do they think about ESG? What do they think of, and you know, you're going to find out whether they're a communist or not. Some of these people are communists and don't even know it, to be perfectly honest, as stupid as that may sound. Because they think, well, the Patriot Act, we had to do it. We had to do something to protect ourselves. No, you don't go, you know, what's the thing about if you give up your security for your, give up your liberty for security, you will have neither. And that's where we're at. We're giving up our liberty for security, and we will have neither. We're already there. To a certain degree, we're already there. So people, please wake up. I mean, I'm not coming up with anything new. I'm not putting anything amazing out there. This is all just reality. This is all what's happening to us. If you want to have a free society, and what about your kids? What about your grandkids? Do you care at all about them? What kind of world? Go send them over to Venezuela for a while and see if that's where you want them to live, or Argentina. Is that what you want for them? And, you know, this Trevor Loudon on the one segment, which he's got a big old website out there. You can go out and watch all sorts of stuff. And he's from New Zealand. And he was saying, you know, America, we have to face the fact we are the last hope. If America dies, there's no freedom on this planet. And, you know, it's not trying to be arrogant in saying that. It really isn't. But when you see what's happening around the world, what's happened to Venezuela and these other places, and what's going on, if America falls, this is the last hope for freedom. There's nobody else who's going to fight for the freedom out there. They don't have, they're not even sure they have the means. We are the last ones. We're the ones who didn't give up our guns, remember? Not that I'm suggesting people, you know, the called arms or any of that stuff, but this would be a totally different situation right now had we allowed them to take away our guns with the Patriot Act and all this other nonsense. Because having the right to own a gun and own bear arms kind of thing isn't about duck hunting. It's about defending yourself against tyranny. And you look at what this government has become today. What is the limit? Do you really look at how they're arming the government against us? They are arming the IRS, the agriculture, have they armed the Postal Service yet? I haven't heard on that one.
Yes.
Department of Education.
Department of Education. The Department of Agriculture, the Department of the Interior. I didn't hear about the Department of Commerce. I don't know about that one. But the other ones, yes.
They're creating a military state. Go ahead.
Well, remember what Obama said, everybody. I would love to have a military that would be answerable to me, just as strong as the U.S. military is overseas. That's what they're creating. That's why I call this the O'Biden regime.
Yeah. What it is.
He has not gone away. And remember, he hated America. He also hated white people, which I always thought was kind of odd. But that's the way he was brought up. That was what he was taught. And who was he taught by? He was taught by the people I grew up with, especially Bill Ayers and his lovely wife, Bernadine Dorn, who blew up federal buildings with the Weather Underground. And now guess where they are? Bill Ayers is a professor in Illinois, and his lovely wife is a professor in a law school. Isn't that exciting?
It's so pathetic, and it's so real, and it's right out in front of us now. It's, you know, it's, please, people, turn off the mainstream media. They're all part of it. It's, you know, call it a conspiracy theory. It's real. It's not a theory when it's real. You want to call it a conspiracy?
You know what?
You can do that. Yeah, go ahead.
You said turn off the mainstream media. I have an idea. Listen to the mainstream media, write down the key points, and do the opposite, and then you'll know what they're going to do.
This is true. This is true. Use it as the weapon against them. They've been using our society and media. In fact, that's how part of one of them is even advertised, how China has used social media against us. We've allowed them to use it and corrupt it against us, and here we are. So we have to, if you call it fight fire with fire, whatever, play the same game back. And if you're hearing it on mainstream media, go out there and challenge everything you say and go find out what the real truth is, because the media has been totally bought up and paid for and controlled by these people, too. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with Alex Jones, but, I remember listening to him years ago, and people would always say he was a quack and a nutcase, and he was always a little bit extravagant in his message, but he was right. He was out there trying to, you know, warn people. That's not to say everything he does is right or anything crazy, but then, you know, none of us are perfect. But he was out there saying the same thing. You go out there and you'll see there's a group of people who've been talking about the Agenda 21 stuff and everything for years, and they just, people don't want to, they want to go and marginalize what he said, but it was true. Go ahead.
While you were talking about Alex, I was thinking how similar to Trump this is, because it wasn't Trump's message that the people disliked. It was his message of delivery that they didn't like. And Alex Jones, if his method of delivery was likable, then the message would have had a better chance of being liked. I think
he didn't do the marketing right.
I think, right, he didn't get the marketing right. And that's what the left has learned to do so well. They are the most incredible marketeers that I have ever met. Policy? Folks, if you knew when I was growing up with these people, a boardroom used to be the room for lunch, and they would sit, and these are the vice presidents and presidents, and they would sit with lines of Coke and liquor. They'd go to the local bar for lunch, and then they'd come back and write policies. What? What brain? No wonder why nothing works.
Do
you think that all these drugs are coming over the border and they're all going to the homeless people? Forget it, folks. They're going to Wall Street and the government as well.
It was actually interesting. In that Pitt Part 2 thing, Peter McCullough, the one doctor, was talking, and he actually talked about Coke and how it was the doctors who were all on the Coke to begin with. It was really quite interesting where he was, and of course, anybody knows anything about Coca-Cola knows that that's what the Coke was in it to begin with, and how it started at that level as well. It was kind of interesting because he said very much the same thing you're saying right now. Now we got, looks like it might be Joe. Is this Joe who's trying to chime in?
Well, I'm sorry I have to disappoint you, but you have to settle for Sarge. How you doing, Sally?
Sarge, you're quite welcome. I love it. You're the one who gives me all my Constitution lessons. How are you doing this evening?
I don't believe I can. Hopefully, I think all I can do is simply to add to your already considerable knowledge. It's certainly more than most people on cable news know about it. But speaking of which, I mean, I'm sorry I got here late because finally my schedule gave me a chance to come in live to your show while you're still on, even though it's almost over. So I missed most of it. But I assume you are speaking of our esteemed great president, Donald John Trump, aren't you?
Yes, the whole focus is what he started. He's and giving him the credit that he has actually awoken, you know, he's the one who made everybody realize what's really going on. And we were even saying, what would have happened had Hillary Clinton been elected? Where would we be today? Because he's given us the warning. He's given us the wake-up call. He's the one who got these other people really ticked off because they didn't like what he was doing, and they are so determined to take him down, they will do anything to stop him. And he's the one who's trying to keep us a free nation, an independent free nation, taking care of ourselves, you know, fuel independence and all these kind of things, and stopping all the invasion, stuff like that. So what would we be had he not been here, the things he's done, and what do we do right now to help support him while they're determined to take him down, and what's going to happen in 2024, who can fill the shoes of this man if he's not able to run? You know, this whole process, we really need to appreciate what he did when he ran, and I guess we should be also thanking God, because had it not been for him running and totally throwing them out of sync with what they thought their election was going to do, it's given us a second chance to save this country. And I really truly believe, had he not been elected, I just don't know what would have happened with Hillary Clinton in there. And Karen was saying 70% of the people right now would probably be out of work had it been Hillary elected at that point in time and stuff like that. So what are your thoughts on everything? Where do we go from here? What do you recommend? What are you thinking? And Sarge, if you're talking, you must be on mute. Sarge, we can't hear you. Are you still there? And Karen, do you hear me? Make sure people can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Sarge, we can't hear you, so I don't know if you want to hang up and call back in, as we are not hearing you. And I know you must have something to say. Okay. Well, it looks like he's on mute or something. He must be on mute. But anyway, Karen, you can go ahead, and if Sarge, if you get back on and want to dial back in or something, because we can't hear you.
Oh, sure. Well, one of the things also, Sally, is we have to pay attention to them when they speak, and we have a tendency not to do that. They'll say statements, and we will go, oh, they wouldn't really do that, not here. It's not in my neighborhood. Well, that's the wrong answer. So I found a couple of quotes from the people who started the environmental so that we would all understand what the E in ESG is really going to be slanted at. And this is David Foreman, and he was the co-founder of Earth First. My three main goals would be to reduce the human population to about 100 million worldwide, destroy the industrial infrastructure, and see wilderness with its full complement of species returning throughout the world. Returning throughout the world. Isn't that nice?
And oh, yeah. I think Sarge is back. Sarge, you there?
Okay, super.
If at first you don't succeed, try again. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. Well, just in response to what you just said a moment ago, there is no doubt that setting aside the sterling achievements of the Trump administration, the likes of which I have never beheld in a man, particularly one who never held elective office before, his record of accomplishment as president has got to be singularly unmatched in American history, maybe by anybody outside of James K. Polk or, George Washington. I mean, it's just astounding what he was able to do. And I constantly beat myself in the head for thinking of him that when he first announced for office that he was a charlatan, a celebrity quack, who wouldn't know anything about the Constitution and fell off Trump Tower and hit him in the head. I thought he was a joke. And he completely proved me utterly wrong, more wrong than I've been about anything in my entire life. I think it was an amazing presidency. But setting aside that, there is no doubt that he was the trigger and the catalyst for the eruption by the deep state, the bureaucratic state, and all of these hidden powers that have sought to subvert the Constitutional Republic for maybe the last 40, 50, 60 years. And it took Donald Trump's presidency to bring it all out in the open. And that may be, arguably, the most important thing he did as President of the United States, just to make us aware of the depth, the breadth, and the width of it. It is simply unimaginable. I never thought it would be as bad as, I always knew it was there, but I never thought it was this bad. We can see it now, and I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. If they can do this kind of thing to an actual president of the United States with clearly delineated constitutional authority, with Supreme Court decisions that completely back him with regard to this Mar-a-Lago thing, and mostly everything he did as president of the United States, just think what they can do to the rest of us. It's like the man said, they're not after me, they're after you, I'm just in the way. But I was thinking, he's the greatest troll ever. I mean, this guy comes out, says they ought to reverse the election, and they're all going ape excrement out there, listening to him saying this. Look at what a threat he is to our, quote, democracy, unquote. You know, and they never use the word republic, constitutional republic. Never, 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 because they have no concept of it. They have a concept of their perverted and bizarre view of democracy, which is why they keep using it, like Liz Cheney did. But there is a way that he could be reinstated. And, you know, I was just thinking that he ought to throw this out there just for, craps and grins. And here it is. Now, you remember back in 1973, when he was facing charges of corruption and tax evasion, Spiro Agnew resigned the vice presidency. President Nixon appointed Gerald Ford to the position. Now, we know what happened subsequent to that when Richard Nixon was facing a bipartisan impeachment over Watergate. Ford became president of the United States. Now, just think. Think about Harris being compelled to resign after actual evidence established beyond any doubt that a massive electoral fraud has occurred. As far as I'm concerned, it's already been established, but to mostly everybody else's satisfaction, along with the already well-established constitutional violations involving the Article II elective process and state legislative authority, and the revelation and the acceptance that Trump was the actual electoral victor. Now, by hook or by crook or by whatever means, you compel Harris to resign because of pressure from potential prosecution, because she's been, quote, convinced, unquote, that his resignation is in the best interest of the nation. Biden, with all the stuff he's involved with Hunter Biden's laptop, and all the clear and undoubted corruption that he is undoubtedly involved in, involving a compromise with hostile foreign powers and all over the world, under overwhelming pressure to avoid going to the joint himself, appoints Trump as vice president to avoid prosecution. Biden then resigns, and Trump becomes president legally and constitutionally. He wouldn't even have been elected unless you want to consider the confirmation by both houses of Congress to his ascension as vice president, an election. I don't know if you could or not. That would mean he'd be free to run for election again in 2024. I mean, I just like to war game this stuff because, look, if Trump's going to troll all these people, he ought to troll them with that and see what the reaction is. You know? I mean, it would tickle me to no end to see him do it.
That would be interesting.
I mean, that would be a perfectly legal and constitutional way for Trump to be appointed for the remainder of Biden's term. You get Harris resigned first. Trump, for whatever reason, to stay out of the joint, appoints him to the vice presidency. He's confirmed by both houses of Congress, like Gerald Ford was, and then Biden resigns. And President Trump becomes president again. And I wouldn't think that would count as an election, and he could run again in 2024. I just like to see him troll it. That's all. Not even saying it would necessarily come true.
Hey, we were talking about him being the Speaker of the House, and then they'd be impeaching both of them, and then he would be the third in line for it anyway.
Well, impeachment is a tall hurdle, but again, the thing I'm saying would be contingent upon overwhelming evidence that the election was stolen from him. Now, that would have to be generally accepted as true. Like now we accept that Hunter Biden's laptop is real, even after all the denials that it wasn't. Everybody with an ounce of common sense will at least admit to themselves that there's no doubt that Hunter Biden's laptop is genuine and implicates Biden in a whole host of corruption and criminality. So, I mean, what I'm saying would be contingent upon the widespread acceptance of that fact. Now, as to whether or not that would occur, that's another matter. But I'd just like to see the idea, like I said, just trolled out there. Just let him throw it out there. Just let him get him as upset as he can. You know, it's like when you're in a boxing match and you just taunt the guy to get him off his game. And if you're really good, you can just exploit that to attack their vulnerabilities. And I think Donald Trump ought to do the same thing.
And that would be obviously contingent on the fact that we would take over both houses.
That would absolutely be a necessity, of course.
And where do you think Mitch McConnell would do?
Mitch McConnell is an impediment. But again, I think with enough pressure, the show beyond any remember, again, is contingent upon it being shown and widely accepted that Donald Trump is the actual victor in the election. And I think there's a real possibility of that being done with the House changing hands, with the Congress changing hands, and, the possibility of this even being floated. Not because the Democrats would like it, but maybe because Joe Biden would want to stay out of the joint. And maybe Kamala Harris, you know, Kamala Harris is a weak sister, let's face it, you know. Yeah, she's got ambitions, but she's got no integrity. She's no character whatsoever. I believe she could be pressured to resign.
Yeah, I think she would too. I think she's scared half to death of ever thinking she'd be the president. And she is truly the affirmative action syndrome we were talking about earlier.
Oh yeah, she's utterly unsuitable to be. Yeah, she's unsuitable to even be a city council member. I mean, the woman has absolutely no. I mean, the woman. I've never seen worse in the vice presidency. I've never seen worse in a high level of government in my life. I mean, she's utterly addled. She hasn't got a brain or head. Not one that's functional for a governance.
And Biden, in his better days, didn't have a brain in his head either when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, well, you know, birds of a feather, you know.
Let's see, Joe, is that you this time? I'm sure, making sure I got one other caller out there.
Hey, Sally, Karen, Sarge, John Doe. How are you all this evening?
Oh, John Doe, I haven't heard from you in a while. Okay, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to tag team with Sarge there for a moment because I was one of those guys that didn't care for Trump. I still don't really care for Trump because I don't think he's constitutional enough, but he has revealed to me he's probably the best president we've had in at least the last 60 or plus years. But here's my other point I wanted to jump on. It's my own personal perspective that in 2017, January of 2017, the January 6th riot that they're talking about that happened in 2021 would have actually happened in 2017, and it would have been bloody and more explosive had not Donald Trump got in and helped vent the pressure. Because all of the disclosures that we've got over the last several decades with, you know, all of the corruption that's gone on in our government, and then Snowden bringing out all of the reports that he did, and you had the WikiLeaks reports with all the cables and the corruption there. You had William Binning and Russell Tice, John Caracal. I mean, there's several of them, Thomas Drake. All these people were coming out whistleblowing, and then the different people within the different organizations in our country basically shut them people down and destroyed their lives. So the pot was boiling hard real hard. And then Trump got in, and it was giving a lot of us the relief, the pressure that, hey, something might come of this good, and that's continued to help us let off steam. Otherwise, we would have just blown this whole thing up in January of 2017. Back to you. Thank you for the time.
Okay. Well, that's kind of an interesting thing. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but Sarge, any comments on that?
Yeah, you know, I do believe that Donald Trump, in his way, whether intentional or not, did serve as kind of a safety valve, a pop-off valve to release pressure that many Americans felt. And I don't know how widespread that dissatisfaction was that might have led to a violent reaction, but I certainly think among a relatively small group of people, it would have been intense enough. And it might have caused significant disruptions in the country. But I think what we're witnessing now, the kind of corruption we're seeing now from the three-letter agencies, which is just almost unimaginable to be out in the open so much, is certainly enough to cause more widespread discontent than before this, particularly before the Mar-a-Lago raid. So now I think that, yeah, what he just said has a whole lot more merit to it. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. If they indict Donald Trump and attempt to bring prosecution on, I think the reaction to that, assuming they would do it, I'm not even sure they're willing to do that, but assuming they would do that, I think that would be the true gauge of whether or not the sentiments that my man just expressed are in fact present.
John Doe, did you want to say something?
I was going to just follow up a little bit in the sense that the people who were the forgotten people that had been privy to a lot of the corruption, COINTELPRO, MK Ultra, Mockingbird, Paperclip, Thin Thread, all of these different scams that we had heard about, and then with Snowden doing the big data dump and the people that got to look through all of that information and got to further understand what was corruption. And, you know, Alex Jones supposedly helped a lot in the sense that he was getting people to look at Trump, and Trump was using Alex Jones and his listeners to get the message out that Trump was not an insider and that he was concerned about some of these things. But this stuff was going on before Trump ever even was in the picture. And so, therefore, to me, the real explosion was going to happen in January of 2017, but because Trump got in, it gave a bunch of all these people that were about to blow their stack a whole lot of hope that things were going to change. And then during the 4 years of his office term, whether he was perfect or not, he was, like you guys are saying, helping reveal a lot of this stuff and confirming what Snowden and Thomas Drake and all these and WikiLeaks and, you know, all these other people were already telling us that were true. If we had had enough of that evidence to prove it already, we're as smart as fifth graders or seventh graders, so, you know, don't take much to figure out the truth in that once you get access to a lot of those inside documents that prove things beyond a reasonable doubt. It's just that the majority of most people in our country don't follow up with that information to find out the details of what Snowden revealed to us, or Thomas Drake or William Benning and these people. I mean, even when the Pentagon's papers came out with Daniel Ellis, Daniel Ellsberg, whenever those Pentagon papers came out, the majority of the media and stuff wouldn't even cover it. So the majority of most Americans didn't even realize that a lot of that stuff had any merit to it either.
We can run over just a few minutes. For anybody who's listening on the internet, we got about 5 minutes, and then it's going to be cut off the air. But we'll talk for a few minutes over that, because what you're mentioning there about the papers, it is kind of interesting when you're thinking about them going after him for these. If he had the right to unclassify the docs or do whatever, as I'm understanding it, but it does make you wonder: did he come across some of those other documents that are really telling of what's really been going on, and did he declassify some of them or do something else? Is that what is the, you know, we know that they're going after the guy no matter what, you know. So is it truly a fraudulent thing that they're doing? Well, I mean, what they did with the raid and everything else was definitely fraudulent and political. But was there something where they possibly thought he declassified other documents and was privy and had the right to take certain documents that actually disclosed?
Well, let's look at what we know, okay? Well, not what we have to speculate about, but what we know. We know that James Comey greased the skids for Hillary Clinton escape.
Yes.
We know that James Comey, because he told us under oath, that he leaked classified material to the press so the press would pick up on it to serve as a circular loop so the FBI could justify spying on the Donald Trump campaign. We know that he did it, that they did it after they went in the White. We know what Jeff Zuckerberg just told us, that the FBI told us Russia collusion was imminent and likely, and they had to be looked out on anything that would look suspiciously like Russian information. And Zuckerberg, being the compliant little toady apparatchik that he is, said, yeah, that must be the Hunter Biden laptop. And so the Hunter Biden laptop, in fact, according to most polls, meant that 90% of the people voted for Joe Biden said had they known about the Hunter Biden laptop, they wouldn't have voted for him, which meant that the 44,000 votes in three states probably would have not gone for Joe Biden, and Donald Trump would be the president right now. We know that they changed the electoral laws, election laws, in five states, or at least three states, without consent of the legislature. None of those electoral votes should have been counted. We know all of these things and much, much more. We don't have to speculate about it. And then we haven't begun to talk yet about the solid evidence of the mules and the ballot harvesting. We haven't begun to talk about that yet. We just talked about things that we know for sure. So, yes, there's no doubt about all of this. There's no doubt about this coming down. The only thing they have going for us is their propaganda machine, which tells us if we dare to question it, we're lunatics who need to be locked up in a re-education camp. That's the only thing they got going for themselves right now.
Yeah, Karen, were you going to say something? Yeah.
Yes, you were talking about Mar-a-Lago. They have neglected the fact that a president can declassify anything, anytime, any place, and can never be prosecuted. Remember what Obama said to the Russian diplomat, tell Vladimir, I will work with him after the election. He can say whatever he wants. Obama has taken papers. Clinton has taken papers. They all have taken papers. A president can take any amount, any group of papers and say, these are my now personal papers and I am taking them with me and they are not classified. He doesn't have to write anything. All he has to do is say the words of which Trump did and they know it. This has nothing to do with that. They are also trying to get him on the Espionage Act because he had classified papers in those bookcases. Well, he had them there because he didn't even pack the bookcases. They were packed by GSA, and that was the Secret Service. So he didn't even have anything to do with packing them. He probably hasn't even looked at them. They're in a locked room in a secure place, in a building that has more Secret Service than you can imagine, so they're not, and the cameras all over the place. This has nothing to do with that. I believe that they were after the Russian papers or some conversation that he might have had with Giuliani, who was his attorney at the time, or something like that. And also, the only other thing that I wanted to add, Sally, is Trump with the vaccines. I agree with you 100%. He needs to say something. But I was thinking back. Remember how he was lied to. And he told the pharmaceuticals, come up with a vaccine. Yes, I'm going to drop the red tape, but I'm not telling you to lie and break the law, which is what they did. He didn't condone that. He thought they were going to come up with a vaccine that would help, and if they could bypass some of the red tape, that would have been a good thing. So I think he needs to make a statement on that because he will be hung otherwise in effigy instead of, you know, people appreciating. And remember, he is the first one that came out and said, maybe we should try hydroxychloroquine. And look at what they did to him for saying that. So he was working with a group of people who, just like the military, lied to him. They lied and lied and lied. And, you know, he's the one guy, he's there taking the lumps because that's who he is and what he is. But I do agree, he needs to come out and he needs to have a conversation about that.
Well, I'd like you guys to consider this for a minute. Think of the absurdity of the fact that the President of the United States, to whom classification authority is completely vested, has the chief executive officer of the federal government. You see, he is the executive branch of the federal government, the President of the United States. He has to wait for acquiescence from a bureaucrat as to whether or not he can declassify something. So if the bureaucrat decides to be incompetent, then that means the president can't declassify something. Think about how absurd that is, especially in regard to the fact that the President of the United States left in place the executive order under the Obama administration, which says that none of this stuff about declassification applies to a president. None of it. He left that executive order extant. It was extant under Bush. It was extant under Obama. Donald Trump left it that way to be continued. And Department of the Navy versus Egan, the United States Supreme Court says, the classification authority is supremely rests with the President of the United States. And now they're telling us that some bureaucrat has to check some boxes for us to be completely declassified. That is beyond absurd. That is almost getting to the Kafkaesque grotesque.
Yep. Yeah, and Karen, were you going to say something else there?
No, I was, I lost my train of thought. Oh, he doesn't have to ask anybody for permission of anything, as was just explained. He's the head of the whole shebang. There's nobody above him except God to ask a question. So, and he can declassify them any day, any time, any place, like I said, by speaking or by paper. Now also, oh, I know what else. They are also trying to get him on the Espionage Act, which is also a joke, but the Espionage Act doesn't have any penalties. So it's meaningless.
Well, I think you're thinking of the Presidential Records Act doesn't have any penalty. The Espionage Act certainly does, but the Presidential Records Act is a civil document. There is no enforcement provision. There is no penalty. It is simply a mechanism to negotiate with presidents as to what materials should be returned to the National Archives. It is a civil matter, and it will be, I guess, resolved in the event of a dispute between the Archives and the president by an Article III court, which could then issue a subpoena for the documents or perhaps ultimately maybe hold the former president in contempt of court for not returning them. But that would be the most of it. It's civil and civil only.
But we all know they're going to try to come up with something to try to keep him from being able to. They're not going to stop. Well, I mean, I think it was the other part of this discussion. It's like, well, if they go looking for this, but then they find something else, or how much they would plant. I mean, do you put it past them to plant stuff in too? I mean, it's really pathetic. But I think right now I'm hoping that it's turning against them. Every time they try to take down Trump and these kind of means, it only gets more support for him. Because even, again, the Democrats, like I said, not all Democrats are communists, even though the Communist Party has taken over their party for the most part. The regular Democrat people out there don't believe this stuff either. They don't support this stuff. And so they're helping him in many ways, but yet we know there is no limit to what they will do to try to stop him. It's just, it's so sad. It's so pathetic. And Americans, we're the ones who've got to reject it. We've got to push back at every level and make sure our voice is heard because we can't let this happen. You know, there will be no future for us if we allow it.
Yeah, there can be no doubt that just because some documents got some markings on them, it doesn't mean the president didn't classify them. They can have the markings. The markings don't make them classified. The president makes them declassified or not. I mean, there are millions of documents. Look, every federal agency that handles classified information has the authority to classify documents. There are millions of things the president will never see that are classified. But the things that come to his attention that he decides to classify are classified the very second he declares them to be declassified. And it doesn't matter what markings are on them if he declared them declassified. It doesn't matter. I mean, we got to keep stressing this point to these numbskulls and those who just want to punish the president no matter what, because that's their goal, not what the law is, not what the Constitution says, simply to negate or nullify and punish Donald Trump. Those people, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about people who are just willfully ignorant or simply ignorant. The president of the United States is a classification authority. He can be at a national security briefing, come across a top secret, secret compartmentalized information document, decide the American people need to know it, call a press conference, walk right out to the press conference, not giving anything to any bureaucrat, and announce it to the American public. Right away. You didn't have to see a bureaucrat. A bureaucrat doesn't have to prove it. And now, you might say that if the president was to do that, say, for the Normandy invasion, Operation Overlord, well, that might be giving aid to the comfort, aid to the enemy to announce it beforehand, and he ought to be impeached, maybe even tried for treason for giving aid to the enemy. That doesn't change the fact that he could do it. He can still do it. So, I mean, the point of the matter is that he has the authority to do this. They're behaving as though he doesn't because he's Donald Trump. He's the all of a sudden exception to every other president that has ever lived. Donald Trump wasn't really a president.
Yeah, and that's what, again, this is where what I am referring to as, we could maybe call them the Kennedy Democrats of yesteryear, the average Democrat out there, or not the loons on the extreme communist side. We've really got to get the message to them. They're the ones that need the true awakening to realize it's time to exit the Communist Party that they are now become aligned with, to understand all that. But we are running out of time. But here's what I want to do with this for this last round is for right now, we see what they're doing to Trump. I think everybody on this call and those listening understand we would be in a completely different situation had Trump not been elected the first time, not been given a platform to go out there and say, wake up, America, you're losing your country, make America first, and this type of thing. So I see him truly as, I compare him to Washington in a sense where he's the second founding father of this country. He's another father of this country in a sense, because I don't think we would be here having any of this conversation today had Hillary Clinton been elected that first time. I hate to even think of what would have happened had she, as we talked a little bit earlier, what would have happened had she been elected. What would happen to this country, the New World Order, all this other insanity going on. So I do believe we've been blessed that he was elected then, and he's done so much to wake up the American people. Now, with that all being said, excuse me, we'll start with Sarge. What are the one or two things you would tell your fellow Americans out there? What do we do to help Trump and to save this country, whatever? What is it we have to do, because it is up to us. We, the people, have to take action. What are the one or two things, and then we'll go to John Doe and then Karen, and then we'll I'll wrap it up.
First and foremost, we have to recognize that the perfect is the enemy of the good. The Republican Party is an insufficient, inadequate vessel to right the wrongs of the distortions that have been inflicted upon this constitutional republic. But they are the only option right now to put a boulder in the stream to kind of dam it up a little bit. So we've got to get Republicans in office. And I know they're not the actual solution, but many of them are very good, if not most of them, if not as many as should be. But they are the only option right now to put at least a halt, or at least significantly slow down the tide that is tending to the destruction of this republic. That's first and foremost. Get these rats out of office at the federal and local level wherever you can. That's number one. Then number two, there has to be electoral integrity, maybe concurrent with the first thing, that has to be restored to the system, cause so we can be assured with reasonable certitude that the electoral process is accurate and reflects the will of the people. So you got to have election integrity. You've got to get these rats out of office, get them out, get rid of this regime, and that are the first and most important two immediate priorities for 2022, 2023 and beyond.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. John Doe.
Yes, my fellow Americans, don't forget, our Declaration of Independence is about your independent, self-governing, free. The United States Constitution is supposed to support to the letter of the law that spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence. So therefore, in the word of law, Blackstone's commentary, the unit we own, the United States governing by unity. Unity of time, unity of title, unity of interest, unity of person, unity of possession. So therefore, you are a self-governing, independent, free person. And when the Congress is complaining about Trump, you know, there's a, well, they hold Congress, and I mean, Donald Trump is showing contempt of Congress. Well, Congress, when they deny you your right of redress of grievance, then they have committed extrinsic fraud, denying you your due process rights of good faith bargaining, good faith negotiating, mutuality of agreement, freedom of contract, freedom of association. Therefore, they violated the 13th Amendment. You've now been deemed involuntary servitude, a legislative slave, because they have denied your will from being mutually and reciprocally included, enacted, codified, and ratified. So they violated the Constitution there. They violate the Article 4, Section 2, citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. So they don't get to burden and encumber you or obligate or just burden, encumber, obligate, whatever, you know, all those things, any more than you. But they can't do it to you, and you can't do it to them. Otherwise, they're violating the United States Constitution by treating you as a second- or third-class citizen, and they therefore use undue influence to give themselves a high-speed fast lane to their pursuit of happiness while they make you and all the rest of us jump through hoops and hurdles and even get walls, denying us that same privilege, and they're in violation of Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, no title of nobility granted at the federal level or the state level. And that's not even to get into the different amendments when you've got due process rights, impartiality of, you know, the courts with Amendment 4, 5, and 6, and then Amendment 14, if you want to get back into equal protection at all. It's not equal protection if they can use undue influence to make you subservient to their will, but deny you your right of due process with redress of grievance from the First Amendment. You know, Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition their government for redress of grievance. So these people don't give a flying flip about the Constitution. But just don't forget, truth always wins out if we continue to group together and learn how to bite this elephant one at a time. But thank you so much for your time, Sally and Karen and Sarge. Great to hear from you guys again. You have a great evening.
Thank you. And, yeah, the key point of all that is know what your rights are, and we must stand up and defend those rights. We cannot just take it from them and be pushed around the way they, because they've all given themselves nobility and elitist status or whatever else, and they treat us like the peasants. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. So we really need to remind ourselves we are not the peasants. We are the people. Okay, well, that being said,
Can I add one last thing? I'm sorry.
Okay, real quick.
This will be real quick. If you think about it, if you are a governing free person, you determine all of your own burdens, encumbrances, and obligations, then if they deny you your due process rights, you know, committing extrinsic fraud, they've destroyed the legal effect of your private property. Destruction of private property is a felony, and they've made themselves your lord. Thank you. Back to you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, and very good point. Okay, Karen, what are you thinking? Well, all this being said, what are your top two suggestions and any other comments for tonight?
Well, the most important thing is thank you so much, Sally, for having the roundtable. It's so important that people get the truth out. And that is also learn the truth, understand who your enemy is, and treat them as though they are the enemy because they are. Charlie Crist, who was just nominated for the Democrat gubernatorial race in Florida, is already calling the Trump supporters and the DeSantis supporters semi-fascists. So we're back to that again. Understand who these people are. They're going to do that. Their words mean nothing, nothing. But it is going to get worse before it gets better. And should that happen, be prepared. That's the key. If you're prepared, you can handle anything. If you're not prepared, then everything becomes a crisis. And that's when you get to depend on the government, and that is never a good thing. Also, use your money to vote. What does that mean? Use companies that support your values. Stop giving your money and your support and your information. Why anybody is on Facebook, I can't figure out. Why are you on Twitter? Can't figure that one out either. They're lying on a continual basis. And in the case of Facebook, all they're doing is stealing your data. So why would you want to do that? Stop funding people that hate you. And that's really key. Understand what America is, what America is about, and be a participant in the greatest country in the world while we still have it. Thank you, Sally, and good night, everyone.
Well, don't forget, go ahead and let everybody know about your show.
Oh, that too. I forgot about that. Imagine that.
That's important, too.
Yes, very, very important. I will have a special guest next week. The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Eastern at night. So that would be at 12 and 8 Central. I look forward to hearing from everyone. Thank you so much, Sally.
Thank you, Karen.
Oh, Sally, just flashed across my screen here. Ron DeSantis, I'm only jumping in because you mentioned this. Ron DeSantis did not go to the fundraiser because he went to the officer's funeral. Thank you, Governor DeSantis.
Okay,
and he rescheduled. He rescheduled, so.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Good to know that he respected the fallen, and that's more than we can say for our current president. Okay, excellent. Well, good to know that's what it was about, because there was, for others who may not have heard in the beginning of the show, there had been some announcement that Governor DeSantis did not go to a New York fundraiser because of some urgent situation or whatever, and they weren't really telling us what it was, so people were thinking possibly his wife or something had happened, so... It's good to know that he was doing that in honor of the fallen, and that nothing else, there was nothing to his family or anybody that happened. Okay, well, thank you for that update. That's good. Now, the other is, just as we were saying here, we have to understand, and as Trump has been saying it, they're going after him because he's the one speaking on behalf of us, and I truly, truly believe that. We are the ones who have to stand up and stand with him and call out the communists when they're there. We have to speak the truth. The truth will set us free, but we have to say the truth. And the truth is not going to be pretty. And the truth is the same as with these Republicans who are bought and paid for by the Communist Chinese Party and that kind of stuff. So please keep that in mind. We have to be honest with what's happening. We have to be engaged. We have to understand what they're doing to Trump is what they want to do to us. And he really is standing out there. We should be very thankful that he has been there, and we also should be praying for him. And also, when you're saying that prayer, give him some courage or hope or whatever you want to call it. Ask him to be honest about the COVID situation, the vaccine, and these other things that have happened. He needs to be honest with us, too, at this point. He needs to admit where he may be failed, and he followed misinformation. He was lied to. And it caused him to make a few bad decisions. We can understand that, but we need to correct it. We need to know the truth so we can correct it going forward. He needs to speak to that as well. And again, please say a prayer for Donald Trump and family, and say a prayer for our country. We must all come together. Contact your U.S. senators and tell them we don't want this insane marriage thing to be passed. We believe in a culture that is of Christian values. This is what we are founded on. This is what we should be. Do not let them trash the culture anymore. It's all part of the process to try to take down this whole society. We must work together. We must be honest. And we must say a prayer for America. And with that being said, excellent conversation. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining in. And God bless America. Good night, everyone.